If you've got a thirst for knowledge that never quits, Brightside Podcasts are just what you need. Whether you're into recent discoveries, space exploration, true stories, or useful tips for self-improvement, psychology, gadgets, or just your day-to-day routine, there's something for everyone. There are nearly 200 countries in the world. Imagine you can visit each of them by car, because people have built a huge road connecting every corner of the planet. Wait, before you go on the trip, you need to be prepared. The Earth's equator is about 25,000 miles long. On a jet plane flying at the speed of sound, you would travel around the Earth in 33 hours. Unfortunately, you don't have such a plane. And what you do have is an old but reliable minivan. If you drive it at a speed of 65 miles per hour, you'll finish the journey in about 2 weeks. But let's not forget the necessary stops to sleep, eat, see the sights, and stand in traffic. Oh, and one more thing. You won't be able to drive in a straight line. It's a single road, and it'll be winding, even going in circles sometimes. On the world map, it looks like an unpredictable mess. So, it's better to leave your minivan and buy a mobile home, a trailer with all the amenities. Also, you'll have to spend a lot on fuel. Gas-powered cars aren't allowed on the world road. Only electric ones can drive there. So, be prepared to recharge and pay for it. Ready? Fasten your seatbelts, and here we go. At first, you need to get to the nearest city built along the world road. Upon arrival, you see a highway 100 lanes wide. A lot of cars drive along, brandishing flags of their countries. Everyone honks at each other and shouts in different languages. But it's not only the road that's surprising. The city next to it is equally astonishing. Imagine thousands of tourists and commuters pass by your city every day. Normally, they'd stay in roadside motels. But on the world road, they prefer to stay within city limits. Every country wants to look presentable in the eyes of foreign citizens, so the so-called world cities are decorated with grand monuments, beautiful architecture, and parks. And of course, real estate in these cities is very expensive. In some countries, the road passes near the capitals. The world road is fenced with a tall, transparent wall. If you want to stay in some city, you have to leave the road and drive through the security checkpoint. This is really convenient since you don't have to wait in lines at the borders between countries. The road connects the entire planet without restrictions. Beneath the road, electric sensors are built in to regulate traffic and stop violators. If a driver exceeds a speed limit, these sensors send an electric impulse and disable the driver's car. Since all the cars are electric, charging stations pepper the roadside. So if you run out of power, you can recharge at any time. The first few days are quiet for you. You drive, enjoying the beautiful view, getting stuck in traffic sometimes, but not for long. You eat food you buy at supermarkets or stop at roadside restaurants. With the world road bustling, roadside eateries have turned into real restaurants where famous, talented chefs cook. Fortunately, the food there generally isn't very expensive. If you started the trip in North America, your first destination is South America. You drive by amazingly beautiful cities, get acquainted with the culture of different countries, and look forward to the most interesting stage of your journey, transition to another continent. You have to cross the ocean. Many countries spent huge amounts of money and decades to build a long bridge connecting Africa and South America. You climb upon a road that has no end in sight. It's a long bridge that rises dozens of feet above the water. Huge pillars extend from the ocean floor and support the bridge throughout the way. The ocean merges with the sky on the horizon, and you feel as if you're flying through the air. And best of all, there are no transparent walls to the sides not to block the view. Even though the longest straight section of the route begins, there's a high-speed limit. For the first few dozen miles, a driver can't get used to the amazing scenery and sometimes gets distracted from the road. Electric sensors don't allow you to accelerate more than 65 miles per hour to reduce the risk of an accident. You drive in the leftmost lane and can look at the ocean. You see a group of dolphins leaping out of the water and greeting the drivers, and a huge whale swimming on the horizon. You keep driving, and soon the sun descends upon the horizon. The landscape becomes fantastic. Many cars pull over at the side of the road and people get out of their vehicles to take pictures of the beautiful orange-red sunset. At night, a powerful storm begins. The ocean is raging. Huge waves crash into the pillars and droplets reach the cars. Lightning flashes, but drivers aren't afraid. Lightning rods are installed all along the road. Soon, the storm subsides. You continue on your way, overcoming ships that also sail to Africa. You think you'll arrive there much faster, but then you get into a big traffic jam. The road passes by small islands, among which is Tristan da Cunha, a group of volcanic islands that are the most remote pieces of land in the world ocean. The road branches into dozens of directions that lead to the islands. Hundreds of cars swerve there and create traffic jams. After a few hours, you return to the normal speed. A full day has passed. You need rest, so you stop by the side of the road and sleep inside the trailer. In the morning, a seagull wakes you up by knocking on your window. This means the mainland is close. A cool breeze gives way to sultry hot air. The blue ocean is replaced with yellow savannas. You travel all across Africa, enjoy the company of lions, elephants, and giraffes, and get nicely tanned. You find yourself back on the water bridge and drive to the island of Madagascar. Here, you make a stop to enjoy the unique nature that's unlike anywhere else in the world. You go back to Africa, and from there, you start on a very long journey through Eurasia. You visit all the European countries, then go to the east and reach India. You stay for a while in almost every country. You've managed to sell your trailer and bought yourself a new one. You no longer remember the exact number of days you've spent on the road, but you know for sure that more than a year has passed. You're heading to Australia, past Thailand, Vietnam, and Indonesia. After that, you visit New Zealand. Here the road makes a big circle, and you return to Eurasia through Papua New Guinea and the Philippines. You've had a great time on the sandy beach, swum in the ocean a lot, made friends with the locals, and felt like a citizen of not one country, but the whole world. Still, you want some change of scenery, and the road obliges. You're going north. You pass through the eastern part of the continent and reach your next destination. Here, the road winds through snowfields and winter forests. Every day, a large amount of snow falls on the road. It would have disappeared under this white shroud, but fortunately, there are heaters installed beneath the road, so you're driving on wet asphalt instead. Because of the bitter cold, people rarely stop here, so you quickly reach the Chukchi Sea. You reach another bridge and drive above the water for a couple of hours. Ahead, you can see the coast of Alaska. You think you'll arrive to North America soon, but the road turns towards Greenland instead. You reach the most amazing point in your journey. You pass through a valley of icebergs. Some of them are so big that the road is cut right through them. You're driving inside an ice tunnel and get a little scared. When the tunnel ends, you're back on the long bridge over the water. This bridge is the last one on your journey. It takes you back to North America. After more than a year abroad, your trip is finally over.